Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here again with Jeff Waddington, who serves as pastor of Faith OPC in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Jeff. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, good to be back, brother.
Yes.
And to talk
we're stacking
about
these episodes.
What are these things called?
Books.
Oh, books.
Yeah. Codices. I was trying to teach the junior high kids.
That's right, codices.
I was teaching the junior high kids at church yesterday, and they said that Christians invented this, the book.
Pretty
like,
close.
Well,
yeah,
so it's the codex. And they were, their minds were blown that there were other forms. Like somebody, the fact that somebody invented a codex, like that form, and that it hasn't existed forever, that just blew their heads. So what are we talking about today? It looks like we've got another book on Jonathan Edwards. This one, Jonathan Edwards and the Immediacy of God by John Carrick and published by Whip and Stock. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Sure. John Carrick is an OPC minister, so he's one of our fellow brothers in the ministry in our circles. The book is dealing, you wouldn't necessarily get it by the title, unless you're familiar with the doctrines, but it's dealing with occasionalism and continuous creationism in the thought of Jonathan Edwards. And in particular, it's very well done. And this might be the first book, and Dr. Carrick has done, this is his second or third book on Jonathan Edwards. He also did a book on the called The Imperative Preaching, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, is maybe an interesting history in the
regarding that. This is true. There's
a little different than redemptive historical preaching, and there's been some I don't know, fireworks are the right word, but that's the word I'm going to use. There's
some of it's
there's
a
some
false
discussion.
Dilemma.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
Some of it is, in my opinion.
Sure.
Although he holds Dr. Richard Gaffin in very high regard. He's like the exception to the criticisms in that book, The Imperative of Preaching. But anyways, he's published a book on Jonathan Edwards' preaching, which Banner of Truth published several years ago. And this book is the first one that I think where he takes exception to Edwards' views, where he at least is upfront and says, I don't think he's sympathetic, but he doesn't agree with Edwards' embrace of occasionalism and continuous creationism. Yeah. And I'll define those shortly so you understand.
Sure.
When you're talking about the immediacy of God, and we've talked, I think we brought up this issue before, Camden, in episodes where we've talked about Edwards. It's simply Edwards is responding to both Hobbesian materialism, where the soul is evaporates, right? There's no spiritual aspect of reality, and then there's the deism, or the reduction of revelation to what comes from God by way of nature. Or not so much that aspect of deism as the mechanical, so that God is a God of the gaps, and God is a God at a distance.
Sure.
Which would be deism.
Yeah, you know, that is the deism. He created the clock and wound it up and let it go.
Run down on its own. So Edwards responds to that by formulating and embracing a form of idealism where God is immediately involved in creation and providence and redemption and consummation. But we might say he fleshes out that immediacy. And by the way, because he's talking about immediacy, he's not denying the mediacy of the word. Okay, they're not pitted against each other. God's immediate presence and activity are not. It's a complex issue because he gets into the debate over whether Edwards' embrace of occasionalism and continuous creationism obliterates secondary causality, which is a criticism that has been brought against Edwards on this score. Occasionalism. Just to give definitions, in order to flesh out God's immediacy, as opposed to being a god at the at a distance. We might say his immanence, right? The immediacy of God's relation to creation. This is fleshed out by an apparent use of the idea of occasionalism, which is the idea that causality is not the causality, what appears to be cause and effect relationships in the universe, in the world, are not, it's not really a one created cause leading to a created effect. It's the occasion for God to act directly. So you can see why many would think that that destroys the idea of secondary causality. And occasionalism yields the doctrine that God is the only active agent in the universe, the only real active agent in the universe. The second, the continuous creation, while distinct from occasionalism, is related, and that is the idea that the world is recreated every moment, so that there is no self-sustaining substance in the universe. In other words, we would typically say, well, that everything owes its existence to God and his providence, right? In other words, not just creation, but continuation and existence. So none of us denies that God is responsible for all that. However, it seems as if Edwards goes much further than recognizing that. And so he says that he doesn't seem to affirm. And why I say seem is because there are plenty of places where he uses the normal standard language. That's why it's somewhat complicated, if not confusing. Edwards, confusing? No, that. Anyways, we recognize the distinction between creation and providence, right? Creation is bringing something into existence. Providence is keeping it in existence. Edwards will say, no, in fact, what it is that God recreates everything moment by moment.
And then presumably provides the connection and the identity between successive moments.
You're correct. What we call perturation.
Yeah.
However, it creates, it brings with it other problems. For instance, how do we hold people, human agents, responsible for their behavior if there it isn't an earlier Jeff answering, or a later Jeff answering for his behavior at an earlier time, but it's merely God makes things look as if they've been around. It's almost a Descartes evil genie problem, right? Rene Descartes' methods, discourse and methods. There's the question is, how do you know that your senses are trustworthy? And then he brings up the evil genie alternative.
Yeah. It's the right? Matrix problem, and is a version
exactly.
of that. How do we know we're not living in a simulation?
What is that red pill, blue? What's a red pill? What are the different color pills
the red pill and the blue pill. And
the blue pill.
Okay. Yeah, one of them you go back into the illusion, and the other you wake up. And
right.
For the life of me, I can't remember which one I took this morning.
Well, that's where I didn't realize that's where the expression red pill came from. Because,
sure.
You know, when I started watching The Matrix, my mind checked out because I'm not a sci-fi fan. The friends of ours are, as you know. But anyway, so so Dr. Carrick just goes, I think he makes a good argument that Edwards does make use of continuous creation and occasionalist ideas, and basically at the end he explicates it in several of Edwards' writings, and then at the end he gives reasons why. You know, while understandable given Edwards' context, it's not biblically either necessary to embrace those ideas, nor is it helpful. And I think that I agree with him that's a sound assessment, while appreciating the brilliance of Edwards, the fact that he sought to bring everything to the feet of Christ, but he wasn't successful in every last vestige of his attempt.
How would you characterize this portion of Edwards' thought relative to the rest of his systematic theology, for example? Is this an outflow of some of his other beliefs? Is this somewhat isolated? I guess we can't isolate a doctrine like this entirely or quarantine it from the rest of our thoughts. How would you relate it here such that if there is an issue to have with Edwards here, does it affect our assessment of perhaps other aspects of his theology?
That's a very good question, Camden, and it's one that I don't have a complete answer to, because I've not sat down and subjected every doctrine or every facet of his theology to his philosophical idealism. And it doesn't have effects all the time, but I think that every time I've done a closer look, it does complicate the picture. How it complicates the picture is that it pushes Edwards closer to panentheism and pantheism.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't think that's Edwards' goal.
Of course not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, because he affirms a creator creature distinction, but like so many in the history of the Christian church, they've absorbed ideas in the air and tried to use them for the furtherance of the gospel, and they're not always a good idea to do that. Yeah. And in this instance, I think that's the case, because if you, as Charles Hodge mentioned in his systematic theology, Edwards affirms original sin and the problem of sin. That seems to be a real chink in the armor of Edwards' idealism and occasionalism and continuous creationism. That's why I was trying to hedge my language and say it would appear. Edwards does not seem to see any kind of tension. You know, where I feel the tension very much as I read through this material. Because I'm thinking, I've got no obligation to embrace idealism in the form that Edwards does. But on the other hand, he talks freely about the reality of creation, physicality, materiality. So his understanding, perhaps we need to do more study to see that, in fact, he is careful in how he does things, and because we don't always read from the whole body of his literature, we may draw conclusions that are inaccurate. But in this little book, I think, interestingly enough, it proves that you can make a case regarding Edwards in relatively short compass, and he does a fine job with that book.
Interesting. The publisher Information says this: Dr. Carrick claims that the theme of the immediacy of God is the Ariadne's thread, which runs with consistency through the multiple aspects of Edwards' philosophical, theological, ecclesiological, experiential, and homiletical interests. You know what they're making sense of, that Ariadne's thread.
Yeah, the Ariadne's thread is related
solving a problem
to,
multiple ways.
Yeah. It's drawing from Greek mythology,
sure.
and the labyrinth, and the Minotaur was the monster. It was getting lost in the labyrinth and being found by the Minotaur. That Ariadne didn't want to have happen to her. So in order to prevent that, she took a piece of string or thread from where she entered into the labyrinth until she found whatever she was looking for. It's been a long time since I read that.
Yeah.
That parable.
Well,
it's a parable.
I haven't read it at all.
And John Calvin makes use of that. So the Ariadne's thread is simply saying is it's something that holds together both all aspects of Edward's theology, and it does, because it's from the earliest semi-private notebooks that he has, that are in the Yale volume on the philosophical writings of Edwards on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's there we see his commitment to some form of occasionalism and continuous creation. Where he got that at this point, I'm not quite sure. And I don't think Dr. Carrick tells us where he got that either.
I think here's a task for a scholar of sorts. Find the first glimmer of this theology that he's presenting of continual creationism, and read the notebook where it arises, and let's find out what he ate that day and maybe the night before.
Well, you know, as
because he wrote about that too. Maybe
Ebenezer Scrooge said to Marley, the ghost of Marley, there's more of what did he say? There's more of gravy than grave about you.
Yeah, he thought he was having a vision due to indigestion,
right? Indigestion creating delusions. that's an interest. I know that it's I have the books, for instance, in my library that answer some of these questions, and I've looked through it. It's just not coming to me right now.
Of course not. Yeah.
The background.
Sure.
I mean, we are familiar with Edwards' reading. He may be one of the few theologians from history that gave us a catalog of books either that he read or that he wanted to read. And that's volume 26 of the letterpress edition of the Yale works of Edwards. It's a reading catalog. So, I mean, we have, assuming he was very careful at writing down what he read, what he wanted to read, et cetera. So we have a pretty good idea of sources.
Yeah, he's something else. There's a lot of sources there for people, a wealth of data and opportunity for scholars. So this is an interesting title. So again, Jonathan Edwards and the Immediacy of God by John Carrick, published by Wipf and Stock. It's available now. It was published December 2020. Thanks so much, Jeff. It's good talking about these books. And no doubt you have quite a few on the shelf lined up, ready to go in future episodes, right?
You can see I have a few books on the shelf that old and new
lined up for review.
Got about on my shelf here that I'm leaning on. I have about 12 books that I'm working through for reviews. So yeah,
excellent.
There you go.
We look forward to that. Future conversations in the works. Head on over to reformedforum.org for information about what we have going on, as well as other book reviews and conversations on books with authors and whatnot. And of course, you can find info on Jeff as well and his church out there in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. But until next time, we do want to thank everybody for listening, and tola lege, pick up and read.